Well, hello and welcome to Walk It Out with Leah McCray. How y'all doing today? It is a blessing to be with you again. We are working our way through Genesis, and we are, oh goodness, we're at Genesis 32. We are almost done with this wonderful book. We have maybe 15 or 13 or so more chapters, not sure exactly at the moment, but we are just about done with this amazing book. You know, Genesis is a book of firsts and a book of beginnings. That's actually what Genesis means, is beginning. But it is a book of beginnings, a book of first things that we see in the kingdom of God. First mentions, just it's an amazing book, and it just sets the scene for our wonderful journey in Christ and what God has done through Jesus. So it's just an amazing book. So again, oh, let me get this treadmill going. How y'all doing? Are you on your treadmills? Are you out your door? Are you starting your Pilates or your yoga? What exactly are you doing? Because I know you're doing something, because we are committed to transforming our bodies as we transform our mind and our spirit in the Word of God. All right, well, I am good to go. Hope you guys are ready to take this journey into Genesis 32. So let's just pray. We always open up in prayer. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you for this time together, Lord. We thank you, Father God, for your word. We thank you for this relationship with you. We ask for forgiveness of all sin, Lord God. Oh, wash us clean, Father, with the blood of Jesus. We lay everything at your feet, Father, and we receive your righteousness. Hallelujah. And we just thank you that your mercies are new every morning. So, Father, we just love you. We bless you. Have your way in this time in your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. All right. So let's just get moving. I'm going to start with verse 1. As Jacob started on his way again, angels of God came to meet him. When Jacob saw them, he exclaimed, "This is God's camp." So he named the place Mahanaim. Then Jacob sent messengers ahead to his brother Esau, who was living in the region of Seir in the land of Edom. He told them, "Give this message to my master Esau. Humble greetings from your servant Jacob. Until now I have been living with Uncle Laban, and now I own cattle, donkeys, flocks of sheep and goats, and many servants, both men and women. I have sent these messengers to inform my lord of my coming, hoping that you will be friendly to me." After delivering the message, the messengers returned to Jacob and reported, "We met your brother Esau, and he is already on his way to meet you with an army of 400 men." Jacob was terrified at the news. He divided his household along with the flocks and herds and camels into two groups. He thought, if Esau meets one group and attacks it, perhaps the other group can escape. Okay, so Jacob is doing exactly what God told him to do. He is returning to his homeland. He is returning to the land that he gave his descendants, his people. But he's returning in fear because he knows how he left. He knows how he left. He knows the deceit that he left, the mess that he made. And isn't that, I mean, can't we apply that to our own life? Can we think of a time where, you know, we messed up, we missed it, we missed God, we act in a way that we know was against our Father, that was sinful? You know, I mean, whether it was out of fear or whatever the reason, we left a mess. And in order for us to, God is going to get us to that promised land, but we often have to go back through the mess that we made. We have to face it. We have to face up to it. Okay? And there's a lot of fear in that. And so Jacob, there was there was a lot of fear, especially when he heard the report that his brother was on his way to meet him with 400 men. So I'm sure, in Jacob's mind, he was like, why does he need an army? Why does he need 400 men to come and meet me and my family? He means to harm me. He's going to kill me. And he's remembering what his mother told him and what Esau said, that he was going to kill him for quote unquote stealing his inheritance. So there's a lot of fear there. So he says, so then Jacob prayed, O God of my grandfather Abraham and God of my father Isaac, O Lord, you told me return to your own land and to your relatives, and you promised me I will treat you kindly. I am not worthy of all the unfailing love and faithfulness you have shown to me, your servant. When I left home and crossed the Jordan River, I owned nothing except a walking stick. Now my household fills two large camps. Oh Lord, please rescue me from the hand of my brother Esau. I am afraid that he is coming to attack me along with my wives and children. But you promised me I will surely treat you kindly, and I will multiply your descendants until they become as numerous as the sands along the seashore, too many to count. So, that prayer that Jacob prayed is a model prayer for us. When we are going through how did he begin his prayer? First with the promise of God. God, you promised that you were going to treat me kindly. You promised that that you were going to be good to me. You promised this. And I'm following your direction. I'm doing exactly what you told me to do. I'm going exactly to the place you told me to go. But I have to confess. We have a confession here. He's confessing. But I'm afraid. I'm afraid that my brother is going to harm me. He's confessing his fear. He's not hiding that from God. And he knows that that if God doesn't rescue him, there is no coming back. Him and his children and his men are no match against Esau. So he knows he has a he has a consciousness of sin. Thank you, Holy Ghost. He has a consciousness of sin, right? But he's battling through this, and he's confessing his fear to God, and he's saying, "You, when I left here, you knew, what I had done, but yet you told me you would treat me kindly, and I've been following you, and I've been listening." And now you tell me to go back to this place, and I'm going, God. See, there's been a lot of growth in Jacob from the time he left to the time he's returning. God has been working with him. God has shown him some things. God has shown him that he can, that his faith is rewarded, right? That his belief in God, God has shown him through all these years under Laban that he can trust God, and he's trusted God. But now on this ultimate act, he has to fight through this fear and go back to the mess that he created when he left some 20 years ago. He says, where am I? He says, I'm afraid that he is coming to attack me along with my wives and children. But you promised me I will surely treat you kindly, and I will multiply your descendants until they become as numerous as the sands along the seashore, too many to count. So Jacob stayed where he was for the night. Then he selected these gifts from his possessions to present to his brother Esau: 20 female goats, 20 male goats, 200 ewes, I can't pronounce that, 20 rams, 30 female camels with their young, 40 cows, 10 bulls, 20 female donkeys, and 10 male donkeys. He divided these animals into herds and assigned each to different servants. Then he told his servants, "Go ahead of me with the animals, but keep some distance between the herds." Oh, how y'all doing? I'm on this hill, it's working me. Praise God. He says, so he gave these instructions to the men leading the first group. "When my brother Esau meets you, he will ask, 'Whose servants are you? Where are you going? Who owns these animals?' You must reply, 'They belong to your servant Jacob, but they are a gift for his master, Esau.'" They're a gift for you. "These belong to your brothers, but he's presenting all this as a gift to you." And they say, "Look, he is coming right behind us." Jacob gave the same instructions to the second and third herdsmen and to all who followed behind the herds. "You must say the same thing to Esau when you meet him. And be sure to say, 'Look, your servant Jacob is right behind us.'" Jacob thought, "I will try to appease him by sending gifts ahead of me. When I see him in person, perhaps he will be friendly to me." So the gifts were sent on ahead while Jacob himself spent the night in the camp. Okay, so Jacob has a strategy. All right, he has a plan. He is going to bombard his brother with gifts, with material things. He is going to, what he hopes to do is to sweeten him up, is to assuage his anger that he believes has been kindling for all these years. So he's sending all these gifts ahead of him, and in hopes that by the time he gets to his intimate family, you know, because he's sending his cattle, herds, his people in his household, all of these people he's sending before his wives and his children. So he's hoping that this will cause Esau to relent in his anger. So that's his plan. That's his strategy. Okay? And this is something that he came up with. All right? So, verse 22. "During the night, Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two servant wives, and his 11 sons, and crossed the Jabbok River with them. After taking them to the other side, he sent over all his possessions. This left Jacob all alone in the camp, and a man came and wrestled with him until the dawn began to break. When the man saw that he would not win the match, he touched Jacob's hip and wrenched it out of its socket. Then the man said, 'Let me go, for the dawn is breaking.' But Jacob said, 'I will not let you go unless you bless me.' 'What is your name?' the man asked. He replied, 'Jacob.' 'Your name will no longer be Jacob,' the man told him. 'From now on, you will be called Israel, because you have fought with God and with men and have won.'" "Please tell me your name," Jacob said. "Why do you want to know my name?" the man replied. Then he blessed Jacob there. Jacob named the place Peniel, which means face of God. For he said, "I have seen God face to face, yet my life has been spared." The sun was rising as Jacob left Peniel, and he was limping because of the injury to his hip. Even today, the people of Israel don't eat the tendon near the hip socket because of what happened that night when the man strained the tendon of Jacob's hip. Okay, I'm going to go back to this starting at verse 24, and I'm going to read this. Oh, let's do the King James Version. Let's see what it says. So it says, "And he took them and sent them over the brook and sent over that he had. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him," okay, so this goes on, and it says, okay, we're going to switch. I'm going to go to another version. Let's try the Amplified. Okay. Okay, let's do verse 24.
So Jacob was left alone, and a man came and wrestled with him until daybreak. When the man saw that he had not prevailed against Jacob, he touched his hip joint, and Jacob's hip was dislocated as he wrestled with him. Then he said, "Let me go, for day is breaking." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you declare a blessing on me." So he asked him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." And he said, "Your name shall no longer be Jacob, but Israel, for you have struggled with God and with man and prevailed." Then Jacob asked him, "Please tell me your name." But he said, "Why is it you ask my name?" And he declared a blessing of the covenant promise on Jacob there. So Jacob named the place Peniel, the face of God. "For I have seen God face to face, yet my life has not been snatched away." Now the sun rose on him as he passed Peniel, and he was limping because of his hip. Therefore, to this day, the Israelites do not eat the tendon of the hip, which is on the socket of the thigh, because he touched the socket of Jacob's thigh by the tendon of the hip. Okay, so that was pretty much the same. But this part of scripture is often referred to as when Jacob wrestled with God. Okay, and because it talks about how a man who scripture defines in itself as being God, okay, and that he wrestles with him all night, and he says, "I'm not going to let you go until you bless me." And then at the end of this, God changes his name from Jacob, meaning deceiver, to Israel. Okay? And then and we know from that point on, they're called Israel. The whole family, all right, is called Israel. Then the nation, Israel. So from this, from Jacob, him, from God changing his name, is the birth of what we know as Israel, okay, which is really the descendants of Jacob, which are the descendants of Isaac and of Abraham. So it's this one family which we have been grafted in, which we are a part of, the people, a people that God has chosen. But Jacob wrestles with God because he's wrestling with his identity, right? He's wrestling with fear, with facing, going back, going through that fear, going through his past, all right, to get to his promise. You know, sometimes you gotta go through your past to get to the promise. Okay, what do you mean? Sometimes you have to be willing to take a look at that and to walk through that and to face your past, to face the things you know that you've done, or the person that you were, realizing that you're a new person, that God has changed your name, okay? That you are a new creation, that all things have passed away, and all things have become new. So sometimes you have to wrestle through those things. You have to wrestle through the enemy trying to keep you bound in your past mistakes, in your past decisions, in your past desires, sinful desires, and your past life, you know? And so Jacob was wrestling with God, and at the end of this wrestling match, because he refused to let go, he said, "I am not going to let go of you. I am not going to let go of you, God, to hold on to who I used to be, or to hold on to who the enemy says that I am, or to hold on to the fear of not wanting to walk through those giants that are in my way. I'm going to hold on to you, and I'm not going to let you go until you bless me." And sometimes we have to be like that in the seasons or the times when we are struggling with our identity, you know, with our sin consciousness, with our failures, with our weaknesses. We just have to hold on to God to Almighty God, to what Jesus has accomplished for us, that we are changed and we are not the same. No matter what we've done, we are not the same. And what Paul says, you know, I do the things that I don't want to do, and I don't do the things that I want to do. Is that me? Or no, that's sin operating in me. So God wants us to disassociate. Disassociation has a negative connotation in psychology. You disassociate yourself from things. You know, it's like you're living in a dream, okay? But I'm going to tell you something. God wants us to disassociate. We must disassociate from our past, from things we have done, from that guilt consciousness. We have to disassociate. God says, I have removed those things as far from you as the east is to the west. How far is that? It could never meet. That's how far it is. The east and the west can never meet. So that is what God has done, and we have to be able to do that. We have to confess our sin. We have to turn away from it, and we have to disassociate ourselves from that. And this is what Jacob was doing. He was wrestling with God. He was like, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. I am not going to let you go until I know that I can walk through this with you by my side. I am not going to let you go until I know that I am changed, that you will help me be the person that you have called me to be. And at the end of this wrestling match, God granted him his desire. God blessed him with a new name, just like he's blessed you with a new name. You have a new name. Amen. You are not deceiver. You are not adulterer. You are not a tramp, or whatever it is that maybe your past actions have caused people to name you. That is not you. God has given you a new name. Amen. And you need to receive that. And you got to wrestle for it. Oh, sometimes we got to fight for it. Oh, we got to fight for it. But God says that the fight is the fight of faith. Amen. It's the fight of faith. It is the fight of believing God, believing what he says about us, believing what he says about our future. That's what that fight is about. Hallelujah. So this was what was going on. And in the end, because he didn't let go, because he kept on in faith, God blessed him. God blessed him. He said, you know what? I'm changing your name. You have prevailed. You have prevailed. Not so much against God, but against you succumbing to false identity. That's what you prevailed against. That's what you prevailed against. You wrestle. You wrestle for that blessing. And sometimes we gotta wrestle for it. We're fighting our flesh. We're fighting the enemy. We gotta wrestle. So you know what? Let's leave on that note. Alright? That we are big time heavyweight wrestlers. I don't even know. I mean, is wrestler heavyweight? I think that's why we're fighting. But I don't care. I feel like that's what we are. You know, we are wrestlers. We are wrestlers, and we always come out victorious because the Lord of hosts, the God of glory, he is with us. So wrestle today. Whatever that is coming against you, making you feel like you can't, or like you won't, or like God doesn't love you or want the best for you, you wrestle with that thing. You kick that lie. You just kick it out of your head, and you wrestle with your identity, knowing that God has given you a new name. Amen. You have a new name today. You have the identity of God. You are his child, made in his image, in his likeness. Now you got to put on the uniform. Put on the armor that he's given us. Put it on. That's ahead of us. I want to say Romans, but I don't know if that's right. I have to look that up. Like I said, I can't just tell you where something is off the top of my head, but it's in my heart. We got to put on the armor of God. Woo, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness. Come on now. Oh, there's so much more. We can't get into that right now. That's going just too far ahead. But we need to know, first of all, who we are and whose we are. And just camp on that. Think about that today. Think about that. And just draw strength from your relationship with your Father, with your Heavenly Father, knowing what your big brother and Savior and Master Jesus has done, knowing that you are filled with the Holy Spirit who leads you and guides you and strengthens you in all things. So we're going to leave on that note.